This is Ragamuffin Radio, and we're webcasting from the southern shires of England, your easy listening station for the finest in folk, blues, contemporary and traditional music. You're listening to Sunday in the Shires, a programme of selected favourite tunes presented every Sunday by myself, Ragamuffin Brian, and the Ragamuffin Director of Programmes himself, settling down for a snooze in his famous armchair, Ragamuffin Mike.
Good morning from the Shires. It's a little bit wet here, but we'll survive.
So, we invite you to sit back and relax for an hour, put the coffee on the stove, the tea in the pot, settle back into your own favourite armchair, and welcome to Sunday in the Shires.
Just like the wheel that I'm turning round, I can't stop anymore, can't feel this out. And the rising tide is all around you, even when I'm in a crowd. Never hard to find you. All the arms around you, they can't touch you now. Turn to rust evermore when they hear the sound of the wind and the rain on upturned faces. Everywhere you're not around, no matter where you are now. Doesn't matter that the moon was down, walking back from a party that we never found, waiting for a car to stop but it never came. Had to walk back into town in the center lane just to find our way and not fall off the earth again. All the time you thought that you were planning for, all the dreams that you had about driving out in the night on the road, somewhere we're standing, still living in the south, in the clothes of winter. Thank you.
Listener, what an absolutely wonderful introduction to today's program. The first track was called Close of Winter, and that was by Peter Bruntall, and that was closely followed by Fair and Tender Ladies. And I have to tell you, listeners, that the selection of the first choice today for the program comes from Ragamuffin Mike, so it's over to him for some background information.
It's all my fault, Brian, but we've got the close of winter, and I thought it was a perfect track to start with today because it's so bright and sunny in the Shires. And Peter Brunton's song and the whole album of songs still remains unreleased because the record company won't fit it up, if you like, and release it. Somewhere out there, someone's got to release this album because it's very special. I saw him in Winchester because I didn't go to that gig that you went to one night. You went to Burslem Village Hall to see the boys, didn't you?
That's what I did.
Yeah, well, I went to see Peter Brunton and he opened with that song, which was superb. And I thought I'd follow it with Cherish the Ladies because we had Fran, didn't we, at the club with... And I always mix up their name. You're going to correct me, or somebody will. I call them Rapskillian, and they're not called Rapskillian. But they're a three-piece. Fiddle, Fran plays Mandela.
Last Tuesday evening.
Yeah, and she sang a beautiful version of Fair and Tender Ladies, so I thought I'd have that as my selection. Cherish the Ladies, of course, are an American-Irish band of great repute, and that's a lovely version.
It is a beautiful version. I think that was an absolutely first-class choice, Mike, and I do know, looking down the playlist for today's programme, that we've got some interesting and extremely unusual sections that you've chosen and I've chosen for later on.
I think we've tested ourselves to the limit today, haven't we?
I think we probably have. So sit back, listeners, favourite armchair job, and enjoy the music that's about to follow.
About 15 years ago, I was lucky enough to be in San Francisco at City Lights Bookshop and interviewing Lawrence Ferlinghetti, the poet. And I happened to ask him if he'd ever been to Larne. And he got up from the table and he brought back to the table, to my daughter Laura and I, a book, and he let me read Belated Palinode for Dylan Thomas. In Wales at Larne at last I stand beside his cliff-perched writing shed, above the coursing waters where the hawk hangs still, above the cockle-strewn shingle, where he walked in the glory of all his days before the weather turned around. And I, a waterbird far away, cries and cries again over St. John's Hill. And in his tilty boathouse now, a tape of himself is playing, his lush voice, his plush voice, his posh accent. Too BBC fulsome, cried the Welsh, now echoes through his little upstairs room. And I, echo the waterbirds once again. Beyond his sounding shed, a fig tree hides the sea, a fish boat heeled over, a grebe afloat far out, a coracle abandoned, a rusty coaler out of Cardiff still, a bold green headland lost in sun, beyond which lie, across an ocean and a continent, San Francisco's white wood houses, and a poet's sun-bleached cottage on Bolinas's far lagoon, with its wind-torn little mesa, so very like St. John's Hill. A single kestrel soars over, riding the salt wind. High tide and the heron's call, still echoing. Aye, it calls and calls again, as in his listing boathouse now, his great recorded voice runs out, grave as a gravedigger in his grave, leaving a sounding void of light for poets and herons to fill. Drowned down in New York's White Horse Tavern, he went not gentle into his good night, and far west poets calling still over St. John's Hill to the loveliest poet of all our days, sweet singer of Swansea, hush singer of Larne, Dylan of all our days.
Creature of habit, frozen in the pub light like a rabbit, mouth open, jaw ajar, soaking up the humdrum like a beer mat on the bar. Then, hours spent perched high but drowsy on the cliff, poised to prey upon the right word, to unlock the line, totting up grocery bills amongst the rhymes, the expense of simply living and loving in a union soldered by wishes and dreams, rhythmed around the conundrum of time. This union is soldered by wishes and dreams. I feel from the strength of the floor for the scene that copes with the passion, the whispers and tears, and the fears full of doubts wrapped round bottles of beer. Shouldn't you be dancing? Shouldn't I make rhymes? There's music all around us in this conundrum of time. But there's so many notes, love. Please find the tune. Oh, please find the harmony. Please find it soon. Well, the bucket hits rocks at the foot of the well, but they're opening up down at the hotel. And there at the bar, there is some sort of truce. Well, I think that I get lucid. You just say that I get loose. But shouldn't you be dancing? Shouldn't I make rhymes? There's music all around us in this conundrum of time. But there's so many notes, love. Please find the tune. Please find the heart of me. Please find it soon. You mimic my poem, so I officially dance between chairs and tables. There's the breaking of glass as I call you a flirt, and then you call me a fake. We're both prisoners of love in this war that we make. But shouldn't you be dancing? Shouldn't I make rhymes? There's music all around us in this conundrum of time. But there's so many notes, love. Please find the tune. Please find the heart of me. Please find it soon. Back home, as we tumble upstairs, the sheep in distress off the coast says. But shouldn't you be dancing? Shouldn't I make rhymes? There's music all around us in this conundrum of time. But there's so many notes, love. Please find the tune, or please find the heart of me. Please find it soon.
Well, listener, I have to say that music just does not get any better than what you've just been listening to. It was a reading of a belated palinode to Dylan Thomas, which was read no less by my friend on my right here, Ragamuffin Mike. And the backing music was Starless and Bible Black. And that reading was, of course, by Lawrence Ferlinghetti. Ralph McTell then came in with Conundrum of Time, which is off an album called Boy with a Note. And I'm now going to pass you over to Mike to explain his thinking and the reason for putting these pieces together and background information on both.
Yeah, one of my One of my all-time heroes is Dylan Thomas, like so many people, and I've been to Larne. Lawrence Ferlinghetti's been to Larne, and so's Ralph McTowell, amongst everybody else that goes down to the boat shed. And that whole atmosphere of that place, I wanted to recreate in this piece. So I read Lawrence Ferlinghetti's poem, which he showed me at City Lights, San Francisco, about 15 years ago. I sat there with my 10-year-old daughter, Laura, and he showed me it, told me lots of stories as well, which are not about Dylan Thomas, but about his life. And the other aspect, of course, is Ralph McTowell, because his album, Boy With A Note, is just an absolute masterpiece, and nobody knows it. They all know Ralph McTowell for Streets of London, and I think it's a superb album, and you should go right out and buy a copy.
I couldn't agree more, and I'm not going to let the listeners into too much of a secret to say that there's a little more of Ralph McTowell's music there to come in this program.
And I should mention that I spoke over Starless and Bible Black, which is Bobby Wellens on tenor saxophone in Stan Tracy's quartet from the very famous 1965 recording Under Milkwood, which I think is almost sacrilege for me to read over it.
Well, I'm going to say on behalf of all the other listeners, thanks for that piece, Mike, because it was simply stunning. And I now know that we're going to travel south. We're going to come out of Larne, and we're going to head down towards Cornwall, I believe.
We are. We're going to go round Land's End, and we're going to be in southern Cornwall. Writing about it all made me wonder, not for the first time, whether I was justified in using our family life as material. But then, as if to make the answer clear for me, there arrived in the post the following letter from Southampton. Dear Mr. Val Baker, before I start my letter, I think it is only fair to warn you that it is of the I've read all your books type. So if you've something better to do, now is the time to put this in the bin and go. It has taken me nearly 2 years to trace all the books in your family biographies, and conversely, my last one was your first, The Seas in the Kitchen. This volume was run to earth by my local library service to the mobile library somewhere down the leafy lanes of Alton in the north of Hampshire. All I really want to say is thank you very much, and to let you know how much I thoroughly enjoyed reading them all. You've helped enrich a love of Cornwall which was already strong, made me stop and think of certain attitudes of mine, and at times made me heartily disagree with you. I've always felt that a lot of the appeal of autobiographies is contained in the peering through the window idea. But you've always managed to prise open the door, and there has never been any sense of invasion. Once again, many thanks for many hours of reading. Before I finish, I hope you'll forgive me mentioning the recent 40 Minutes programme in which you and your family featured. Any preconceived ideas I had before the showing were swept away by the sense of warmth and love that the film put over. Good luck, good health and peace to you all, and all your family. Regards, Rod Andrews. After receiving such a nice letter, I felt able to relax. Yes, it was all right to write about our family life, for obviously it gave real pleasure to readers. But how nice of Mr. Andrews to take the trouble to write. Peace to you too, Mr. Andrews. And now, back to work.
Cornish lads are fishermen, and Cornish lads are miners too. But when the fish and the tin are gone, what are the Cornish boys to do? From Newland Town we used to sail through rain and mist and lashing gale. The mackerel shoals we hope to find, and soon we've left Land's End behind.
For Cornish lads are fishermen, and Cornish lads are miners too. But when the fish and the tin are gone, what are the Cornish boys to do?
We search the Seven Stones all around, but not a sight nor show we found. Round Island Light is now in sight, but the Scillies are a barren ground.
For Cornish lads are fishermen, and Cornish lads are miners too. But when the fish and the tin are gone, what are the Cornish boys to do?
The winding engine used to sing a melody to Cornish tin, and give a lads, they all would grin at payday on a Friday.
For Cornish lads are fishermen, and Cornish lads are miners too. But when the fish and the tin are gone, what are the Cornish boys to do?
The water now reclaims the mine, and young men talk of old men's time, or go to work in gold or coal, or face a life upon the dole.
For Cornish lads are fishermen, and Cornish lads are miners too. But when the fish and the tin are gone, what are the Cornish boys to do?
The hammer of the auctionmen is the only sound we soon shall hear, as visitors will make the noise and order drinks from Cornish boys.
For Cornish lads are fishermen, and Cornish lads are miners too. But when the fish and the tin are gone, what are the Cornish boys to do?
We'll do as we have done before, go out to roam the wide world o'er. Wherever sea or ship are found, oh, there's a hole down underground.
For Cornish lads are fishermen, and Cornish lads are miners too. But when the fish and the tin are gone, what are the Cornish boys to do? For Cornish lads are fishermen, and Cornish lads are miners too. But when the fish and the tin are gone, that's what the Cornish boys will do.
Well, listeners, welcome, a warm welcome to Cornwall. Initially, you heard Ragamuffin Mike reading an excerpt from My Cornish World by Dennis Val Baker, and then that beautiful instrumental called Pulpero by John Sermon from his album The Road to St. Ives. And finally, Song of Cornish Lads by John Heslop and Kathy Wallace. Now, there's got to be a good story in here why Ragamuffin Mike decided to blend this mix together. Over to you, Mike.
Well, it was partly influenced because we've been talking about Cornwall recently, and more will become apparent later on, Brian. And it recalled to me a story that Rod Andrews, our friend, told us a little while ago now. Do you remember we did feature it in a Ragamuffin show, didn't we?
We did. We certainly did.
He's been a big fan of Cornwall, he and his wife Sue, and they've been there many times. And he's been reading the books of Denis Vailbaker, which is apparent from that piece that I read. And after Denis Vailbaker died, or before he died, he wrote him a letter. And two or three years passed, and finally Rod tracked down his last book. And on the last page of his last book is what I read. That was Denis Vailbaker's last literary piece.
So Rod picked up the book, read the last page, and saw his reply to his original letter.
I was absolutely gobsmacked. And I thought it very appropriate then, after the starkness of the reading, to actually put John Sermon. John Sermon's fantastic album again, Road to St. Ives, an instrumental album of music dedicated to Cornwall, and that was Polperro, of course, and that's John Sermon on soprano sax.
And that final song of Cornish Lads, where did you acquire that from?
Well, if you remember, when we went to the folk club and we were discussing Cornwall, I asked if anyone knew any Cornish songs, because we were looking for Cornish songs, and Dusty very kindly looked up and said, well, Roger Bryant's Cornish Lads, and I will bring you some recordings, which she duly has, and she's made us a gift of the Kathy Wallace and John Heslop recording, which is a celebration of Cornwall, an album of celebration of Cornwall, and I thought it was fantastic, and I thought it just fitted the piece absolutely perfectly.
Most certainly does, mate. I enjoyed that. It was tremendous stuff. And we won't talk about Miss Sue and myself walking down a railway walking down a railway track to find Sawmill Studios on the River Fowey. That's a story that we'll keep for another day. But what we have done so far in this program, we've spent all our time in the British Isles.
Yeah.
Which is most unusual for us. We are going to go to America. We're going to listen and feature some American music now. But the coincidence is the start off of this story started with you and an interview in this very studio. Ragamuffin Radio presents For the Roses, Al Grierson, 1948, the year 2000.
Beautiful, Jack. Lovely concert last night.
Oh, that was great fun.
That was great, wasn't it?
Nice place, yeah.
Nice to be in the Shires again, and nice to see you here.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
And your gift to me of these two CDs is going to be treasured for a long time to come. Can you explain to our audience about what these two CDs represent?
It was a gathering at the Kerrville Folk Festival the year he died. Seems like it's yesterday. I think it might have been 2000 or 2001.
Yeah, 2001. It's
2001,
says,
right? Yeah. In the midst of the festival, it's a long festival, 18 days, and Al Grierson had just passed away, and he was a friend to all at the festival. Everybody knew him.
He was a real character, wasn't he?
He was a kindly, comical, intelligent, creative, spiritual character. He had all these qualities in one, you know, and when he passed away, we all gathered under the Threadgill Theater, which is an outdoor, smaller theater, not where the main events are held at the concert.
Right.
Or at the festival. But a small wooden seat, tin roof, you know, outdoors, completely open air. And somewhere late in the night, a lot of his friends gathered together, and we all said stories and songs, and planted a tree for him, and with rock formations for sitting, and just had a good old time for Al.
Austin, it looks like you're ready to play something. Austin Kessler is going to do a song of Al's.
Hi, Austin.
Hi, Austin.
This is my favorite Al Grierson song, and as soon as I learned of Al's death, I listened to his two CDs over and over and over again. And I learned from Steve we were going to do a little memorial service for Al at Art's Rib House, one of his favorite hangouts in Austin. And I learned this song and decided I wanted to do this at the memorial service. This is the title song from Al's first CD, Things That Never Added Up to Me. There were people setting fire to the hills. When I asked them what they did it for, they told me it was something the women used to do when they sent their sons and lovers to the war. A beacon for the wooden ships. Though I never understood how ships had eyes, things that never added up to me so seldom prove a puzzle to the wise. Rock around my Sarah Jane. There's a place to lay our heads in Valparaiso, far away from wind and snow, where the whale fish never blow, and the dark-eyed ladies haul our woes away. There's a ragamuffin minstrel at the door. He must be working in some other song. He's got a manifesto and a notebook full of dreams, and he doesn't seem to know where they belong. He's looking for a handle for his band, but the tinker's old and rusty at his arms. Hasn't fixed a pot in 20 years since he opened up a trade in broken hearts. Rock around, my Sarah Jane. Haul away from Dublin Bay to Valparaiso, for we'll be of better cheer when we're ankle deep in beer. And the dark-eyed ladies haul our woes away. Oh, if I could find the oyster of the world, I'd buy the gun they used to shoot the moon, and ballyrag the governments to never make a law, just tell the truth on Thursday afternoons. But I wouldn't care to set the world on fire. No, I never had a taste for oyster stew. If they asked to see my heart's desire, I'd show the world a photograph of you. Rock around, my Sarah Jane. If we ever reach the docks in Valparaiso, there'll be silverware and wine, and the bed won't smell of brine. When the dark-eyed ladies haul our woes away, rock around my Sarah Jane. If we ever reach the docks in Valparaiso, there'll be silverware and wine, and the bed won't smell of brine. When the dark-eyed ladies haul our woes away.
Oh, I do like surprises, and I'd really enjoy listening to Al Grierson, and you remind me of Jack's visit. You're going to give us a little bit of detail in a minute, Brian, of this, but it came from our Ragamuffin programme, and you featured Austin Kessler singing Things That Never Added Up To Me, one of my absolute favourite songs.
And it's from the album, one of Al Grierson's only two albums of the same title, Things That Never Added Up To Me. Well, the story's an intriguing one. Al Grierson was a stoutish, friendly, roly-poly, very talented singer-songwriter. I never had the privilege of meeting him, and so I'm working on feedback from other performers. Mm-hmm. He was highly respected, and he was the father figure for the Kerrville Folk Festival in America, which is one of the biggest festivals, if not the biggest, in the country. He'd been entertaining some kids at a local school in Texas, and on his way back home got caught in a flash flood in his pickup and unfortunately was swept away. In 2004, Jack Williams came to the UK to do a tour, and when he was here, he gave you two discs, which was a recording, a live recording, by a guy called Clint Harding from KDHX Radio. I think it's San Francisco way.
No, it's Washington.
Washington,
I believe it is, yeah.
Yeah, he has a blues program on there. And Clint very kindly sent these copies across, and Jack had them and gave them to you. We took the storyline from there and did a great amount of research. Mm. And now there's a whole program on the Ragamuffin program list, which is For the Roses, and it's all about Al Grierson. And I have to recommend anyone to listen to Al's music, because it's fascinating, it's enlightening, very worldly. Most of his songs are quite lengthy.
Yeah.
he wasn't noted for brevity in his songs and in his singing, but it's wonderful material.
Oh, it's masterful, isn't it? Yeah. I just love that song about the government, ballyrag the government to only tell the truth on Thursday afternoons.
He must have known Mr. Bush was going to come in to be the next president. Yeah. I said that a little tongue-in-cheek. Yeah. Sorry, Texas. Right, so I hope that everyone enjoyed that. Earlier on in the program, you played some Ralph McTowell.
Mm.
And you tied it in with a Dylan Thomas piece.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to go back to the music of Ralph McTowell, because I happen to believe he's a very unsung hero of the music scene, which we worship continuously. So join me, sit back in the chair again, and have another listen to another interview, another story, and to Ralph McTowell's music.
What was busking like? You travelled fairly extensively, didn't you?
Well, I have to say that the whole road and music dream were wrapped up as one, and that the guitar gave me the artistic sort of impetus, and the road presented, the never-ending dream. As a matter of fact, I still feel largely that way, even though the road goes on forever. Mm. They were coupled together somehow, and then because I could play a little bit and I was hungry, there was some sort of, I don't know, they harmonized together, and I played on the street, and I traveled through Europe playing the guitar in street corners, and sometimes with a pal, sometimes on my own, and it was a wonderful adventure, and I learned a lot. I confirmed a lot of doubts and suspicions that I had anyway, and I felt that I was earning my dues. I was learning my trade. I mean, I don't play the way that I played on the street anymore, because I play fingerstyle and you wouldn't be able to hear that, but I learned a lot. I traveled a lot. I was lonely a lot. I had to think a lot, and I've actually just written a song about it, actually.
Ah.
So it's sort of coming round a full circle. I still got a lot to do, but I've actually identified that mixture of mystery and mystique and and the spirituality of what was going on, along with the music and the journey. So I think that observing people, like in France, a lot of the old guys sleep over the hot air gratings from the metro because it's a little bit of warmth, but they still take their boots off, or they did in those days, and put them under their heads because somebody's likely to come along and steal their boots. I mean, it's that tough, and Paris is cold in the winter. It really is cold, and yeah, it comes home to you what it must be like to have no shelter at all.
Have you seen the old man in the closed down market, kicking up the papers with his worn out shoes? In his eyes you see no pride, and held loosely at his side, yesterday's paper telling yesterday's news. So how can you tell me you're lonely, and say for you that the sun don't shine? Oh, let me take you by the hand and lead you through the streets of London. I'll show you something to make you change your mind. And have you seen the old girl who walks the streets of London? Dirt in her hair and her clothes in rags. She's no time for talking, she just keeps right on walking, carrying her home in two carrier bags. So how can you tell me you're lonely, and it's safe for you that the sun don't shine? Well, let me take you by the hand and lead you through the streets of London. I'll show you something to make you change your mind. In the all-night cafe at 11:15, same old man sitting there on his own, looking at the world over the rim of his teacup. In each tea lasts an hour, and he wanders home alone. So how can you tell me that you're lonely? It's safe for you that the sun don't shine. Or let me take you by the hand and lead you through the streets of London. I'll show you something to make you change your mind. Have you seen the old man outside the seaman's mission? Memory fading with the metal ribbons that he wears. And in our winter city, the rain cries a little pity for one more forgotten hero and a world that doesn't care. So how can you tell me that you're lonely? And it's safe for you that the sun don't shine. Oh, let me take you by the hand and lead you through the streets of London. I'll show you something to make you change your mind.
Wow, that's a beautiful version of Streets of London. I've not heard that for seems like three or four decades. That's superb. And before it, you had a Philip Norville interview with Ralph McTowell from Home Counties Radio.
Well, I've done a bit of detective work here because when I first heard this outtake from a full-length interview, I recognised the voice. And during the interview, Ralph actually says, "Well, Phil, there is a Philip Norville at the moment who presents on Meridian Television, on BBC Television."
Right.
"And it's one and the same," I've discovered. So this was when he was working for Home Counties Radio. So that's where the original outtake of the interview came from.
Ah, right. Okay. And what a gorgeous song and version of it. That's not the original version, is it? That's the 1974 version?
Yeah, that's right.
From the album Streets.
Absolutely correct. Now, I recommend, firstly, the music of Ralph McTowell to everybody and anybody. I think he's an unsung hero of our sort of music. He once said in an interview that when he was young, he emulated himself. He wanted to be Bob Dylan. Well, I highly rate Bob Dylan, but if I say to the listeners, I rate Ralph McTowell above even Bob Dylan. There's so much music out there which belongs to Ralph McTowell, which people listen to every single day and never realize it's his music. Recently, if you'd been watching Billy Connolly's tour of Australia,
all right, yeah,
listen to the music Dreamtime, sung and performed on that series by Ralph McTowell. Tour of Ireland, same thing applies. Mm-hmm. Ralph McTowell's back in music. Tour of Scotland and England, Ralph McTowell appears again. There's a reason for this, and that's because both artists were originally signed by Transatlantic.
That's right.
And they've remained good buddies ever since. Mm. What I want to say is that at some stage in the future, as you and I have discussed, and I think it'll be in the near future, we're going to put together a whole one-hour program on the music of Ralph McTowell. I think his skill, his writing ability, and his guitar playing, the whole combination is nothing but a brilliant example for young performers who want to see how it should be done.
Mm, definitely.
And there's no doubt that the years he spent busking in Europe were the best apprenticeship for anybody.
Yeah, yeah.
So there you are, listeners, Ralph McTowell. And it seems at the moment that I'm following old Ragamuffin Mike in his choice of music, because he had Ralph McTowell. And he also then went to Cornwall.
Mm.
Well, I'm going to Cornwall in my choice of music now, but in a slightly different and somewhat unusual way.
I'm looking forward to this.
With nothing but the light of a primitive tallow candle stuck onto felt helmets, the miners would pick their way through the gloom and damp of underground chambers. It could take almost an hour to reach their individual working sites, and that after they'd already walked many miles from their homes to the mines.
It was hot down there, with temperatures at a constant 80 or 90 degrees throughout the year. The air was acrid and thick with the smoke from constant blasting, and never could you see further than the light of your own candle.
You've never seen no danger because your light only gave you that space, and that you never seen the danger behind you, nor on the side of you, and all that. It was only on the light that you was in, like, and I wouldn't have worked nowhere else in the world after I went down there the first time. I wouldn't want to work anywhere else. You know, the simple reason that you haven't got no boss over you, that you only see the shift boss once in the shift, probably.
If men were lucky, they could stand to swing their picks. But if the vein of ore was a thin one, they could be working in tunnels no wider than their own bodies, chipping at small granite coffins for 8 hours a day.
The ladders were the treadmills of the Cornish mine. Placed flat against the walls of the shafts, they could be up to 50 feet long. This meant that the miners had to take their full weight on their arms, and after a day of muscle-ripping work, it took almost superhuman strength of arm and will to reach the surface.
An observer of 1865 wrote, It is fatiguing enough in deep mines to cause the action of the poor miner's heart to be feeble and irregular on his coming to the surface.
Not surprisingly, the greatest number of accidents in mines occurred when miners fell from the ladders, overcome with fatigue.
There's always dangers in every mine, you know. But if you did what the old miners told you, like, it came as a matter of course. He told me to hold tight in my hands, like, you see, and your feet would find a place down the ladder. You see, we used to go down about 20 feet at a time, then there'd be a manhole, then you'd have to turn around and go down another 20 feet. And you had a sling of drills, about a half a dozen right drills, which you had to put over your shoulder on, and sling them up proper, sling them up safe, because if you didn't have them safe, they'd fall down on other men that's gone down before you, see. You'd carry that down. You had to carry your crib on the ground. That was mostly a Cornish pasty and a bottle of cold tea, like, you know. And we had to carry, a dozen or more sticks of dynamite in or on our waist, inside your shirt here, see, for to warm them, so it could blast, see. You couldn't blast it because they'd be hard as that rocker when they come to us, like, see. There wasn't no antifreeze in the dynamite, you see.
Mortality in Cornish mines was higher than anywhere else in England.
This is Cousin Jack. This land is barren and broken, scarred like the face of the moon. Our tongue no longer spoken, the towns all around face ruin. Will there be work in New Brunswick, or will I find gold in the cave if I tunnel way down to Australia? How will I ever escape? Come on.
Where there's a mine or a hole in the ground, that's where I'm headed for, that's where I'm bound. Look for me under the load or inside the vein.
Where there's a mine, come on.
Where there's a mine or a hole in the ground,
Canada, America, South Africa, Australia. Where there's a mine or a hole in the ground, I'm leaving the county. Must I leave my town? Campbell, Red Roof, Lonson, Wadebridge, past Port Isaac. Remember us, remember our names, remember the white cross on the black flag. Waves crash to the shoreline. I dream, I dream, I dream, I dream of a bridge across the Tamar. It opens us up to the east. In my dreams I see the English living in our houses. I see the Spanish fishing in our.
Running your blood, they get under your skin. I'm leaving the county behind, and I'm not coming back. So follow me down, Cousin Jack.
Come on,
follow me down, Cousin Jack.
Yeah, follow me down.
Wow, what a fantastic end. Show of hands, Phil Beer, Steve Knightley. Steve Knightley singing Cousin Jack there, which is about the Cornish tin miners, isn't it? What a fantastic ending, and that lovely setup of the BBC interview with the tin miners.
Mike's looking at me and I'm sat here sort of very, very smug. Initial... sound recording of the Cornish tin miners was taken off of an archive film track.
Right.
And I thought that it just complemented the whole singing of Steve Knightley and Phil Beer. Show of hands, fantastic song, Cousin Jack.
And backed by the choir of the entire Albert Hall, by the sound of it.
Well, I'm presuming it's a live recording, and I'm presuming it was recorded in the Albert Hall. But, I mean, you've probably got 2,000 voices in the background there raised in that chorus. And on that very subject, I listened to several versions of Cousin Jack, which are available on several of Show of Hands' albums.
Right.
This particular one took me away to another level because it's off of Roots, the best of Show of Hands. It's only available as a digital version. Now, nice surprise.
Mm.
42 tracks of Show of Hands music.
Which can be downloaded.
Which can be downloaded, or you can buy it, but preferably, I think I'm right in saying, only downloaded, actually, off their record site. At a cost of £7.49. Is there value? Is there
another, about the price of a pasty and a good pint, isn't it?
Is there another heaven, musically speaking?
Yeah, brilliant.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that, because would you believe it, that very nearly brings us to the end of another Sunday in the Shires. It just remains for me to thank you, Mike, for your music choice and to bring the program to a close. I think there's a snuffling at the door.
Well, it could be Honey the Dog, couldn't
it? I think our new program director, or director of programs, which has now got four legs, has given us a hint that we should wind up.
Wind it up, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Brilliant, Brian. Thanks for the music as well.
No, thank you. And thank you, listeners, for listening. Well, once again, we find ourselves at the end of another programme, Sunday in the Shires. I've really enjoyed today's session. Thank you, Mike, for your music. I hope you've enjoyed what I put together as well.
I think I'm going to take a trip to Cornwall now.
Well, we seem to be spending some time down in that part of the world today. To all our listeners on the worldwide internet, thank you very much for listening to us today. And don't forget, tune in again in a fortnight's time on Sunday in the Shires.
Yeah, goodbye.
It's from me, goodbye, and I'm sure it's from Mike.
Farewell.
Take care now.